ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I am Branham. Brian behind the glass. It is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First round of the NFL draft is in the books. You see the Houston Texans draft grade on NFL.com? It was an A. The Texans got an A for their grade yesterday.
Instead of an incomplete?
A. It was an A.
Okay.
An A. That's what they got. I don't know how exactly. Maybe part of it was the trade down, and maybe this specific draft grader likes what's left for the Texans. You know, they did get Stephon Diggs as part of that, too. Watching the draft unfold yesterday, and certainly there's some craziness that happened in that draft, like Michael Penix being drafted number 8 whenever you spend $100 million guaranteed on a quarterback already. It's a lot of capital to be spending on the quarterback position, $100 mil and the 8th overall pick. That's
been there
weird.
Before.
Not really.
Well, not at 8, but I've been there before.
That's a lot different.
I've lived through it.
That's way different,
really.
I think. Oh, absolutely. Like, are you talking Rodgers or Love? Because those are similar.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Those were both in the 20s, right?
No, I'm saying they – well, you're right, both of them. I've been it twice. But yeah, both of them were in the 20s, yes.
I mean, that's more manageable than a top 10 pick after you spend $100 million in free agency. That's the other thing what's different about the Packers is, like, they were grooming a young quarterback under a veteran that they've had – in Green Bay forever. Like, they had Favre already. They had Rodgers already. And then you drafted Rodgers for Favre. You drafted Lutz for Rodgers. This is different. You went out in free agency and outbid everybody to sign Kirk Cousins, gave him all this $100 million guaranteed, and then you used the 8th pick to draft the quarterback. It was so bizarre. I mean, we'll get to it later.
Yeah.
It was really, really weird. But from a Houston Texans perspective, watching this draft, seeing how it unfolded, I'm asking myself, would you still do the trade down knowing what you do now? Because we saw 23 come up. We saw all the defensive players slide. There wasn't a defensive player taken. What was it, the top 14 picks, top 13 picks?
Yep.
First defensive player was number 14 or 15. I think it was 14. So you saw what came and went whenever number 23 was on the clock. You know what you would have done whenever 23 was on the clock. Hindsight 2020, knowing what you do now, would you have still made the trade that you did with the Minnesota Vikings, where you trade from 23 down to 42, a future second-round pick, you flip that future second-round pick for potentially 1 year of Stephon Diggs. So 42, 1 year of Stephon Diggs, or what you would have wanted yesterday at number 23?
Oh, I think I'd do the trade right away again because I like where I'm sitting, because I like the fact that if we talked about in the offseason going free agency versus the draft and what, you know, side of the ball you were looking for, whatever. At this point now, when you look at the roster, I think defense is where you have the holes that you want to fill, with maybe the exception of one offensive lineman. And the fact that all these defensive guys were sliding, the fact that the defensive backs slid way further than I thought they were going to slide, I think you got to be jazzed about the fact you have 2 second-round picks, that one at 42 is close enough to where you can either maneuver up a little bit if you want, because I think the first 2 picks of the second round are going to be receivers. But then after that, you look at it and go, there's a lot of guys that slid out of the first round that might fall right into your lap at 42 that were projected to be first-round picks. And you got Stephon Diggs out of the deal, too. If I'm the Texans, I would do it again right away because I'm ecstatic with the kind of talent that's sitting there in the second round.
Even for 1 year of Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I hate the fact that they did that, but even still, I would do it, yes.
I'm with you, too. I would have made the trade as well. Hindsight 2020, revisionist history, I'm still making this trade. Because I think you are going to get comparable, not as good a value. I mean, it's 42 versus 23. It shouldn't be as good. But I think you're going to get comparable value and then 1 year of really good play at receiver. So I would have done the trade, too. Revisionist history, hindsight 2020. I still would have done this trade knowing everything that I know now. I thought it was a win then, and I think that it is a win now.
Can I do revisionist history and also say that I wouldn't do the reworking of the end of the deal?
Sure, but that's not really relevant to this conversation.
No, it's not, but it kind of is, because if you knew you'd make the trade for Stephon Diggs and you had the opportunity to keep him for another year.
Well, that's reinventing things. Like, now we have all the information presented to us, and we're deciding now that we can be revisionist historians, would we still have made the trade? You're kind of rewriting the parameter on Stephon Diggs. Because I agree with you. I don't love that they rewrote the deal. I think Diggs and his agent probably demanded it. But that's actually part of the equation now. Like, okay, we know that you're getting 1 year potentially of Diggs. You can re-sign him, but you know, there's no guarantee to that. I'm happy with it. Who would you have picked at 23, though? If you did not make the trade, so you don't have Diggs, who would you have picked at 23?
Well, since I was sitting there watching the Packers not make me very happy, I was thinking about the cornerback from Alabama.
Arnold.
Yeah, if he had slipped to the Texans at 23. That's exactly where I would have went.
Yeah, that's who I would have taken, too. Brian Thomas ended up going there. Jacksonville ended up with that pick and took Brian Thomas, which I actually thought was a really good pick for Jacksonville. I didn't love that Brian Thomas landed in the division. I don't love that he lands in Jacksonville. But I would have taken Terrion Arnold, too. Arnold would have been my pick there. You line him up opposite of Derek Stingley. And ultimately, Detroit ended up trading up for him to grab him at 24. Mm-hmm. Dallas trading down, Detroit getting into that spot and then taking Arnold. Yeah, I was a fan of that trade for Detroit. I was an Arnold guy. Arnold would have been the pick there for me, but Arnold's not enough for me to be like, yeah, I wish I could rewrite the trade. Brian, do you have a different answer on who you would have picked at 23?
I think I would have leaned Terrion Arnold as well. I certainly am not disappointed with the trade overall, getting back to the original question, because, I mean, a lot of the guys, when we were going through the mock draft exercise of who we were looking at 23, guys like Cooper DeJean and Enos Rakestraw, Johnny Newton, a lot of those guys we talked about still are available. You look at the big board, it looks like one of the guys we like should get to 42. But if the Texans had kept their pick, I certainly would have gone with the corner from Alabama.
Yeah, so it's unanimous. We would have all taken Terrion Arnold, but not enough for us to want to rewrite the deal. Okay, here's the second one. And a lot of people are mad. Joe George trying to dunk on me by quote tweeting me, oh, he's farming engagement, which he's right.
Joe George has never dunked on anyone in his life.
He's tried.
I mean,
nerf hoop.
How low would he have to lower the hoops goal to be able to dunk? I know you can lower it down to 8 feet. I know that's one of the...
You can lower it down to 5.
Oh, could Joe dunk it? Okay, yes. Joe could dunk at 5.
Joe's 5 feet tall.
I think his hands still extend over his head. Yeah,
can he dunk a 6 foot goal?
Y'all are slandering Joe. Look, Joe is taking a shot at me, and I'm uncomfortable with how much y'all are slandering Joe. Joe's an underrated athlete. Joe's an underrated athlete. Joe's a better athlete than we give him credit for. You are making me uncomfortable because Joe's our boss.
Well, I would definitely would not want to make you uncomfortable.
No, but I think it's fair to ask this question. A lot of people were – actually, you know what? I thought I was going to get a lot of backlash to this, and I really didn't. People just answered the question. Joe tried to dunk on me by quote tweeting me on Twitter, which is a Bush League move, but I appreciate it because it does lead to more engagement. Would you – because we now know – for the most part, like, eliminate the sweeteners, eliminate, like, the fourth-round throw-in, the pick swaps, et cetera, et cetera. The big draft day trade last year, the Houston Texans traded their first and second-round picks and their future first-rounder to trade up to number 3, which then, of course, they used to draft Will Anderson. I have people pushing back to me, well, there was really a trade for C.J. Stroud. No, it wasn't. You drafted Stroud at 2. You made the trade while Arizona was on the clock at number 3. There is no guarantees in life. There's no guarantees in sports. There was a chance, not a huge chance, but there was a chance that you cannot make that trade and Stroud's a Houston Texan and Will Anderson is not. But now that we know, for the most part, and again, eliminate the sweeteners, would you rather have on the Houston Texans, because this is what it came down to, Will Anderson, or would you rather have Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, and Darius Robinson, who was the pick in the first round yesterday that would have been the Texans pick at 27?
Yeah, the way I look at it, at the time, I didn't like it at all. But the way it's worked out, I think because you have, Sam Laporta is obviously a really good young up-and-coming tight end with a ton of talent. But I think that the fact that you have a top-10 tight end, you've got running backs because running backs have become more replaceable and less valuable than they have in the past, that I would say, again, revisionist history, now knowing what we know, I would take the trade and I would take Will Anderson.
Okay, so you're still going with the Will Anderson part.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I still lean Will Anderson, too. Like, my answer is still Will Anderson, because I think Will Anderson, really good, obviously. He's the anchor defensively for the Houston Texans going forward. I think that he's a big impact in the culture of this team, too, and I think culture is very, very important. But the other side of that trade's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay, even if you're picking Will Anderson, to admit that the other side of that would have been really, really fun. Like, having Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam LaPorta in this offense would be a lot of fun. Darius Robinson, like, you know, he's never played an NFL snap yet. We don't know how he's going to be. But the other side of that trade could have been really good, obviously. I do, too, lean the Will Anderson side of it. But if you pick Gibbs and LaPorta, that's okay. Like, a lot of people were scared to like be like, oh, yeah, I like the other side of that trade because they're scared of getting backlash on social media.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's so – like, this is part of, like, the homerism that people have in sports. It's like, well, you know, I'm going to pander to the audience. I'm going to pander to the fan base because I don't want them to blast me. I'm going to say I love the trade. I love what they got. I love every player in Houston. All of these things because people don't want to deal with the backlash that is social media. That's one thing that, you know, I don't think we're afraid of, but, you know, all that said, I'm still taking Will Anderson by a hair, though. I like the other side of it, too.
A quick question for you, Jeremy, just as a clarification. Why are we using yes. Sam LaPorta in this? He was picked.
Because that's who I would have picked. I'm not picking Will Levis. Will Levis was, what, the 33rd pick? Obviously, you're not picking Levis after you draft C.J. Stroud.
Okay. So, are you doing that then with the other picks as well? You're picking who you would have picked?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jahmyr Gibbs would have been your pick at 12.
Oh, maybe.
See, that's where it kind of falls apart. We either got to go with the actual picks being made, or we got to go with who we would have taken.
Well, you can't
with
take
each spot.
Levis. Like, that's stupid. Like, you can't say, oh, yeah, they would have taken Will Levis. They wouldn't have taken Will Levis after you draft C.J. Stroud.
But like, we don't know they would have taken Sam LaPorta, though.
No, he was the very next pick after Will Levis, though.
I know. I just think it's the – I mean, I would rather go with the actual picks being made. I understand your point. The opposite, they obviously wouldn't have drafted Will Levis.
We can do that, but you got to eliminate quarterback. Like,
yeah, you're not – because it's just it's irrational
just,
to think
it just feels
that,
like cherry-picking, though, with Sam LaPorta because we don't know where they would have gone
with
tight
the original,
end.
Then go with the original pick and then eliminate quarterback because it's obvious.
If you already have C.J. –
maybe I'm nitpicking the conversation, but just trying to get some clarification as we continue to debate this to see what grounds that we're basing it off of.
Because I think pick that it was eliminate quarterback because you just drafted a franchise quarterback. There's the basis.
So then what? So then if we use our draft,
it would be Gibbs and LaPorta
formulas. You would have what the next three picks to choose from, or
four picks, that's like more of that simulated game we do. But yeah. If we're going real picks within reason. Yeah, you know, you can make the case that Gibbs wouldn't been. But if we're going real picks minus quarterback, Gibbs went literally 12.
Yeah.
And then Sam LaPorta went the very next pick that would have been the Texans pick in the second round that Tennessee used on Will Levis. You're not drafting Levis.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
So, but I
you know, and I think, Jeremy,
I think
to your
Ryan
other point,
would too, right?
I think that it's okay to say that, you know, as much as it looked one-sided the night that it was made, or the potential was there because we didn't know how good the Texans were going to be, it's okay to say that's a push. That's a win-win. Like, no matter which side you take, there's evidence that says that's the right side. That's a good side to be on because you added on a team that looked like it was in desperate need of, you know, building up a roster. You could have added that kind of a haul at the different positions you really needed, or you could get an impact player like Will Anderson that has turned out to be good, probably going to be even better now with the guys that you added in free agency.
8311, without the Will Anderson trade, we didn't make the playoffs last year.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Like, I mean, you wouldn't have Anderson on the defense, which would hurt.
Right.
But you would have Gibbs, a real running back, and then, I mean, you got pretty good tight end play with Schultz. So, LaPorta, I would say, is a slight upgrade over Schultz. I don't know if it really moves the needle that much in terms of production last year specifically. I think Gibbs would have, though.
You still had John Grenard, who had a very, very impactful season on the defense.
But how much of Grenard's productive season was because of attention on Will Anderson?
Sure.
I think that's a fair question to ask, and I think that a good amount of it was because of that. So, but, I mean, I think we all still take Will Anderson while also admitting that the other side of it would have been pretty fun, too.
Yep.
And you should talk about this stuff today. You shouldn't be scared of your audience thinking about how you're going to feel about it. You should talk about that today because now all of the pieces have been settled. The dust has been settled. All right, 713-780-ESPN. How do you feel about this Texans draft? I guess what could have been at number 23. Also, who do you hope most makes it to the Texans pick at 42 today, assuming they stay at 42? 713-780-3776. Busy day. We'll get to the other teams in the NFL, some draft overreactions, reality. Todd Kalas will be joining us at the top of the hour. Hope he's doing okay. Who said it coming up at 4:30? Busy show for you today. You're not going to want to miss any of it. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. Justin. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel. On Twitter, Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, skies look a little ominous out there. Maybe at a tee time, you're not sure if you're going to be able to make it or not, or it's going to hold up with the weather. You don't have to worry about it if you go to X Golf and Katy. X Golf and Katy is the best golf simulators in the area, the only X Golf simulators in the area. And the fact is, they are realistic, and you can hone in and work on your game with every swing that you take in the greatest environment that they could possibly make for you. It's the combination of a great sports bar with lots of great TVs, really good food and beverage, and then the fact that they have these eight great golf simulators where you can play 50 courses worldwide, or you can just work on your game like a driving range. You can use the golf ball that you use on the course. But the best thing about it is it tracks the distance, the spin, the direction of every shot you hit, including putts. It's great to practice your chipping and putting, just like it's great to practice your iron game and your woods. And it's all under one roof. It's fantastic. And they're the only X golf simulators in the area, so you need to check it out. If your tee time's rained out or you want to hit balls at night and you don't want to deal with the heat and all the different things that can drag you down trying to hit golf balls outside, check out X Golf and Katy. You can watch TV while you're playing golf, while you're eating great food, and while you're hanging out and kind of just mingling with other people. It's fantastic. Chris and his staff do a phenomenal job. I can't tell you and recommend them enough, because once you go there once, if you're a golf fan for sure, you're going to be back there again and again. Check them out online right now. Set up a time, maybe rent out a simulator. X Golf Katy right now.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What do you make of the Texans draft so far? They've done nothing and got an A, according to NFL.com. 713-780-ESPN. This texter, my dudes, ridiculous convo. Would you rather have the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year, or Offensive Rookie of the Year and a dude? Granted, solid dudes, but really? I don't really know what side he's arguing here.
Three dudes. Two pretty good.
Yeah. I don't understand why he says or Offensive Rookie of the Year and a dude. Oh, okay. He's saying Stroud and then all the others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stroud and Gibbs and LaPorta on the offensive side would be nasty. With Tank, just saying. I'm not trading Will Anderson. I'm not going to revisionist history that trade. Hindsight 2020. But it is pretty exciting if you were to have that in an alternate reality. 713-780-3776. And we all said Anderson. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Thomas from LaPorte. You're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Thomas?
How you doing?
Good. What's up, brother?
Hey, I wanted to call. I was talking about the Will Anderson trade. I got a question for Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Go ahead.
Do you not think the third overall pick lost value once CJ Stroud was off the board?
Slightly. But the Texans also paid very similar to what Trey Lance's trade looked like. So it still was quarterback, like, worthy. It was still like a quarterback ransom. But slightly, maybe. Like, I'm willing to concede it might have been slightly less, yeah?
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thomas. The thing that – and look, that's very possible. Like maybe instead of – what was the sweetener they used? Wasn't it like a third rounder or a fourth rounder? Like maybe that would have been another additional second. Like I'm willing to concede that the sweetener might not have been as good that they gave up than if they would have taken Anderson 2 and then traded up for Stroud at 3. And there certainly would have been more teams in the mix trying to trade up for Stroud than Will Anderson last year if we go back a full calendar year ago. The argument that annoys me is, well, that trade was really for Stroud. No, man, it wasn't. They guaranteed themselves CJ Stroud at 2. Maybe they give up a little bit less by taking Stroud at 2, which is wise. Like, that's an easy move. Like, yeah, take the quarterback who has, you know, higher trade value than the guy that's the defensive end. But there was no guarantee that trade was going to get done. Caserio might have felt confident. He might have felt like it was, you know, 90% done, 95% done. But what if Arizona gets cold feet with 90 seconds left on the clock whenever they made the trade, or somebody else comes in with a better package? So, like, that is not a guarantee. And if it's not a guarantee, you can't say the trade was for Stroud and it was really for – because they drafted Stroud. Well, they locked themselves in Stroud, and then they left themselves with a little bit of doubt – whenever the Cardinals were on the clock at 3.
Yeah, and you said it right. I mean, they took the, of the two, they took the one that they needed more, that they knew that regardless that they had to have, and they also took the option of quarterback, which always jacks the price way up, out of the equation to say to try and level the playing field at least a little bit or take the sting off of what could have been an even bigger package if it was for the quarterback by taking Stroud first. And then you don't know how the rest of the draft at that point is going to play out. You assume Arizona would have taken him and kept him. Or, like you said, maybe they were trying to make another move and they were hell-bent on getting more assets than they were making that pick at all as it related to last year's draft.
Yeah. My boy Thomas took a syllable out of my name, too, by the way.
Sure.
All right. 713-780 ESPN. Ocho's not pleased that the Texans aren't taking part in this receiver draft. Brian Thomas was willing. I liked him. I was willing to gamble that he's the next great LSU receiver after Jefferson and Chase. Someone Stroud can grow with on a rookie contract. Ocho says, I'm very disappointed the Texans missed out on the deep wide receiver draft. Mitchell and McConkey are the only fast receivers left, and they'll be gone in the first two picks tonight. The rest on the board are slow possession receivers the Texans already have. Frustrating, Ocho.
Okay, but who says they're hell-bent and focused on wide receiver? And wouldn't neighbors
well, Ocho
be...
Wouldn't neighbors be the
next in line to kind of fill in with those great LSU receivers before you get to Taylor?
He's betting on Mitch. He's betting on he's betting on the other guy.
I heard Lance this morning say that there's questions about his love of the game.
Thomas?
Yep.
Yeah. That's not good.
No, not a
that's
good sign.
Important.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to take a first round pick on a guy like that, Kelvin Cato.
It sounds like Clowney too.
True. Both.
I'm not a huge fan of guys who don't like the game. Josh from Seabrook. Okay, so segues into this to the question.
Okay.
Who do you hope falls to the Texans tonight? Josh from Seabrook, if we don't get defensive tackle Johnny Newton from Illinois or cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, I wouldn't mind corner Enos Rakestraw from Missouri. Who do you hope slides to 42 or maybe even Nick Caserio targets with the first, like, seven picks in the second round and trades up a little bit? Who do you want the Texans' first pick to be?
To me, it comes down to either corner or defensive tackle. It's either Newton to me, or if I'm going to say of the defensive backs that are out there, I think Rakestraw would be my first choice. And if at 42 they have the choice between those two guys or one of those guys falls into their lap, I'm ecstatic. I think that they played it right. I think that the draft absolutely went as good as it possibly could have gone for them.
That's why they got an A.
That I don't understand. But at the same time, looking at a second round where you've got guys that had first-round grades at least throughout most of the process, like Newton and McKinstry and even Mitchell, you look, and Rakestraw, and some people had Keon Coleman higher. So you look at it, you go, hey, if you could get a first-round graded player in the second round at 42 after adding Diggs and doing what you did, you got to be really, really happy.
That's why they got an A. You're explaining why they got an A.
Didn't do anything.
Well, they did everything that you did. They're doing everything
right,
that you said.
Right, but normally,
they had a pick.
You give grades to teams that don't have a pick in the first round, you give them an incomplete.
Well, this guy's creative, and he listed all the reasons you just said. There's 16 players that I would like at 42. So if there's 16 players I like at 42, there's not really a whole lot that Caserio could do wrong by, for me at least. Mm-hmm. Now, if he decides, hey, I really want this guy of the 16 that I have listed, and he trades up five spots to lock that guy in, okay, like I don't mind that either. Like go target your guy, be aggressive, have some courage, be brave, and Nick Caserio certainly is that. I critiqued him last year because of the trade up to number 3, and then he nailed his analysis on Will Anderson, and it made that trade look good because Will Anderson was better than the value that you lost in the trade. The guys that I like, Cooper DeJean, the great white hope, it'd be bringing dinosaurs out of extinction. What Cooper DeJean's bringing to the NFL. Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois. Kool-Aid McKinstry's interesting to me because I think he'd be a first-rounder if he didn't get hurt. I think Newton would be a first-rounder if he didn't get hurt. So it's kind of like you're drafting these commodities early in the second when they're probably late first, but they have some injury things, and I'm okay with injury things at 42.
You could add Cooper DeJean to that, or DeJean to that too, right? If he wasn't injured, didn't work out a lot. A lot of people thought he was a first-round guy.
Yeah, so I don't mind taking an injured guy at 42. Braden Fisk is another one that I like. Kamari Lassiter is one that I like. TJ Tampa, Chris Jenkins, Mason Smith, defensive tackle from LSU, Javon Bullard, safety from Georgia, Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota. Maybe those last couple of guys can get to you at 59.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanristel from Michigan, who might be a nickel corner, but they say he can play all over the field. And there's four offensive players that I wouldn't mind at 42. Four offensive players that I would not mind at pick number 42 for the Houston Texans. It kind of goes to what Ocho was saying. If Ladd McConkey's there at 42, I don't hate it. Like, yeah, you have a surplus of receiver if you do that, but you also have two guys that are in the final year of their deal. So you go ahead and you bring in another receiver because, hey, you know, receivers are good in the NFL. Another receiver I have on my list is A.D. Mitchell. If A.D. Mitchell is there at 42 and Nick Caserio loves A.D. Mitchell, I have no problem with A.D. Mitchell. We know how I feel about Jonathan Brooks. If they love Jonathan Brooks, they take him at 42, a little bit earlier than I normally like. But, hey, you're in a spot where you can make a luxury pick. Go for it. And then the other one's the offensive lineman, the center, Jackson Powers Johnson. Don't love that he's a center because I think Juice Scruggs' best position is center. But Juice can play left guard, and he did it admirably in his rookie year. I think his best position is center, but he can hold over at left guard. So I wouldn't mind if the Texans improve the interior offensive line and Jackson's Powers Johnson. So those are the 16 names that I would be happy with at pick number 42.
I didn't go that long with the list, but I don't disagree with the guys that you said. I mean, and positionally, you know that – Like I said in the first segment, the fact that the corners were sliding and some of the D-tackles are sliding, and if you can get corner, D-tackle, and safety at a very good value in the second round with those two picks, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. Brian, who do you want to slide to 42?
Oh, I think the Texans are in a good spot because a lot of the players I would want, especially at corner, all seem to be – like, I think there's a group of four corners with Cooper DeJean and then a few others like Enos Rakestraw, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. I think one of those four guys is going to get to 42, so I'm hoping one of that group of four gets there. And then looking ahead to possibly their next pick, or if there's just a run on corner that takes all those guys off the board, I'm with you, and I would look at offensive line with Jackson Powers Johnson.
Guy's nasty. He's going to be a 10-year starter in the league. 713-780-ESPN. Who do you want to be the pick at 42 that's still left on the board? And also, if Nick Caserio has to trade because he's a Will and Dylan son of a gun and he's got to live the gimmick, would you rather him trade up or would you rather him trade down? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, it's spring, and you know last year's record-breaking heat is right around the corner again this summer coming up, and you don't want to wait until it gets way too hot and hits triple digits to make your home more energy efficient and get the kind of protection that you need for your biggest investment, your house. That's why you need to get in touch with Allstate Windows and Siding right now, because they're going to take care of you in a variety of ways with the windows and the siding that they offer to get that hard shell all the way around protecting your house. You know, hurricane season, those winds get vicious. They get fierce. And along with the rain and the wind, it can wreak havoc on your house. And because you want your dwelling to be as safe and as solid as possible, you need to at least explore all the different options at Allstate Windows and Siding. Because whether you do one or both, they're immediately going to add a lot to the overall value of your house and the protection and the energy efficiency. Right now, they're having all kinds of specials they want you to know about. 30% off all windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job, and you get free home estimates just by picking up the phone. You call them, they come to you, they tell you what they can do, and I bet you, like me, you can find out just how easily it is to save up to 40% on your energy bills and really take care of that biggest investment of yours, your house. They are fantastic. They got discounts all over the board, including for first responders, military, and senior citizens. But they're going to take care of you every step of the way. Mary and her family, they've been in business for around 50 years. But she and her brother, they take care of you. Her brother's going to come out like he did to me and his staff. They're going to come to the house. They're going to tell you how they can help. It's free. You don't have to do anything with them. But they're going to explain to you how the windows are going to add curb appeal and also keep the energy efficiency at a very high level. And the siding's going to do the same thing while reducing the amount of maintenance and painting and other things you got to do. They take care of you because they've been here in Houston and they love Houstonians and taking care of their customers. Call them today, 832-204-1936. Ask about all of their different specials they got going on, like the ones I mentioned, and maybe a few more. 832-204-1936. Get them to come out to your house and tell them how they can help. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Twitcher says that he wants Kool-Aid McKinstry. That was Slick Mac. Fisk is one that's been mentioned a couple times. Ocho says the Bills and Patriots are taking Mitchell and McConkey at 33 and 34 tonight. I don't know. I don't know if the Bills really want receiver. They've had two opportunities to take receiver, and they've traded down each time. I didn't really mind the one with Kansas City, the trade down. Well, you're helping a rival. I don't really subscribe to that logic. You help your team before you worry about your rival. And then the one that bothered me, though, I have no idea why they traded from 32 to 33. Like, they got a fifth, and then they traded a sixth. That's not enough for me, even though it's only one spot. The thing that comes into play here, the fifth-year rookie option. Like, sure. They gave away the fifth-year rookie option for a pick swap in the fifth and sixth round. That didn't make any sense to me.
No, you're absolutely right. And I do have some reservations with the fact that we all know that they need receiver with losing Davis and losing Diggs and trying to give Allen at least weapons to replenish with the little that they've done in free agency. I'm kind of with Ocho. I think that the first two picks off the board in the second round are going to be wide receiver, but I don't understand when you had the guys that were sitting there staring you in the face at 28 why you made the move, regardless of who you traded with.
See, I don't think that – I think Buffalo has been trying to tell you that they don't really value the wide receiver position with how they were going to play football under Joe Brady. Like, they diminished who Stephon Diggs was for them. They traded out of a receiver spot twice yesterday. They like you mentioned, they let Gabriel Davis go this offseason as too a free agent. I think that their actions are telling you that they don't put a priority on receiver based on their I think because of their quarterback, because of Josh Allen. Like, I think that's what they're telling us. But maybe you guys will be right. We'll see. Time will tell. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rob from the southwest part of town in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Couple names. I like Rick. If we stay at 42, I like Rake Straw. I would love to see Casario, see if he can entice the Bills again, go up and get A.D. Mitchell, because I don't see Diggs sticking around for more than 1 year. Love Newton as well. If Adrian Cooper is there at 42, I wouldn't mind seeing the linebackers get better. And then the second pick, maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, but I really think Jatavion Sanders is going to be an issue in the league, and wouldn't mind seeing them get a matchup problem there.
Appreciate it, Rob. Yeah, that intrigues me too. You can play a little bit of 12 personnel, which I think that this type of offense likes. Even though you have three, you know, receivers that you want to be on the field a lot, like, mix it up, like, make it difficult for defenses. I like that, especially at 59. 42 too soon there, but I'm with you. I would not be bothered with that pick at all. I like the names that you mentioned. I like the names that Rob mentioned, Blinkers.
Yeah, I'm with him as well. I think that I like the fact that there's versatility. I think there's a chance that Casario could end up with 3 second round picks. I think that he's got, you know, like you said, he's a wheeling, dealing son of a gun. He's got the ability to do whatever he wants to do right now. And he's got better choices than he might have first anticipated would be available when he made the move that he had to make to get Stephon Diggs. I like the position they're in right now. I think that if there's just one guy he's hell-bent on getting, he has the assets to go get him. And there's going to be opportunities probably for him to move down and maybe add an extra pick or two that could also be valuable. So I like the fact that a guy that's as aggressive sometimes as Nick can be has the ability to go either way.
Do you want him – would you rather him trade up or trade down if you had to pick between the two?
I think – see, I really think the trade – I think trade down is fine because there's – each one of us rattled off guys – where I think that at least two or three of those guys are going to be available when they get to 42. If you slide down a little, depending on what the sweetener is that you get in return, I would be very interested in that because I think you're still going to get a really good football player that's a BPA value of close to a first round pick that can help you immediately.
Yeah, for me, it's like if you can trade down five spots or so, because I don't want to miss out on all of these guys.
Right.
Like, I want one of these guys, and there's 16 of them. You pick 42, so there's going to be, like, what is that, 11 picks, 10 picks before you? Just count on your fingers really quick, math major for a semester. So, like, I'm willing to trade down four or five spots. Anything longer than that, I'd rather be a trade up. So if I'm picking my perfect scenario, trade down four or five spots, I'm good with that.
Yeah, if this was, like, if there was one first-round graded corner left that had slid, and you that was the guy you were just completely hyper-focused on, then I get trading up. I think because the draft, in my opinion, has gone really the Texans' way in a lot of ways by going so hyper-offense, I think that he's in a really good spot. And I agree with you. I don't want to go more than four or five spots down, but I think that you could if you get something decent to significant in return for being willing to move four or five down, I think you're fine.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Mike from Cypress in the Hive. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to say I saw something people were talking about what Buffalo did, that they think that maybe they traded back one spot so that they could have all day today to trade that pick. But I think that's really smart on their part, because if they knew, like a lot of people knew, that Carolina wanted that one wide receiver, and if they didn't care to take that guy, now they have all day to get the best trade opportunities from other teams to try to move. So if they end up doing that, I think that's a good idea. So I just wanted to add that a little bit.
Okay.
I think Jeremy would give you the point that's the devil's advocate point of that. But you could have had a guy that you had locked up for an extra year as opposed to having an extra day to work on a different trade that doesn't add that to the mix. I think that it's enticing to think that you can lock a guy up that if you get him and like him for that extra year by taking him in the first round.
Yeah, if that is the case, Mike's point, like, okay, like I'll give them the benefit of the doubt to see how it plays out. Like, if they end up doing what Mike said and then they flip 33 today and they get this stupid sweetheart deal, okay, like I'll tip my cap to that. I'll take back what I said. I'll recant the stupidity of trading from 32 to 33 and all you got was a pick swap in the fifth and sixth round. If they don't do that, then I'm going to double down. But I'm willing to present new information to the debate, and they're still on the clock. They haven't picked. So, yeah, let's see how it plays out. But if they end up just like let's say they go with what Ocho said and what Blanker said and they draft receiver, I don't think they go receiver, but let's say that they do. Well, you should have just picked the guy at 32 right, and then added that fifth year option. So do more things need to play out before we can finalize our opinion on that? Sure. I guess some of it's kind of predicting what we think is going to happen. But I'm willing to concede to you, Mike, that if they trade 33 and they get this sweetheart deal, this no-brainer, then okay. Like, yeah, that does make some sense. And I'll tip my cap to some shrewdness and some maneuvering for them.
Who's their GM, Bean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had heard on the Highway to Hell – on Texans radio that they had
what were you listening to them, Blankers?
On the way home after we get off at 6.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny Harris had the longtime he's a sports radio guy and a sideline reporter for the Bills. And he was saying that he thought that they might target two wide receivers in the draft. But you're right. It's going to be real interesting to see how it plays out, because I just feel like if they had a guy that they were hyper-focused on, then they would have already taken him. And it leads a little bit to what you're saying as more of a possibility, in the fact that if they're just not that enticed by these guys, and they figure if there's just a bunch of these guys in the same tier that they had graded the same that are slipping, maybe they'll trade down again.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Steve Smith loves Keon Coleman. He doesn't miss on receiver analysis. I'd like him over A.D. Mitchell if we go receiver at 42. You're right, Steve Smith does not miss on that. I don't think that Coleman really fits this scheme, though. Texans rely on separation and getting extension from their defenders. And while Coleman doesn't have great speed, like he's got some pretty good game speed, so I'm kind of maybe talking out of both sides of my mouth here. I just don't feel like Coleman's a great fit for the Texans.
No, especially since they came out this offseason and really kind of just spelled it out for people clearly to just say they want those quick-twitch, fast, speedy receivers. You know, size obviously matters, and you can have a variation in size, but the one thing that they're focused on is speed. So if you're going to look for that, then I don't think Coleman's the kind of guy that fits that profile.
Who would have Jim Crane drafted?
Who's the biggest name?
Jim Crane would have asked Jeff Bagwell what he thinks.
Jeff Crane would have, yeah, and then the Crane gang would have said Cooper DeGene.
Why?
See,
is
I was
that?
Thinking Ladd McConkey.
Okay, Cooper? Why Cooper?
Because he's so intriguing. There's just so much intrigue about a guy that
y'all both went with white guys
can do all that stuff.
Y'all both went with a pair of white guys.
Maybe the previous Texans regime would have done that too.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Bagwell, they signed Abreu, Montero.
Oh, I was talking about the Texans side of it, but yeah.
Okay, 713-780-ESPN. Draft overreactions or realities? Todd Cowell is coming up at 4, but NFL draft reality overreactions from last night. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A reality in life is that potholes are awful. They're terrible. Can't stand them. Are you tired of potholes? I think you are. You know that I am. Whether it's a parking lot, a ranch road, maybe even a laydown yard, truck parking, whatever. We know how annoying potholes can be. We'll fix them for good with Third Rock Renewables. Third Rock Renewables' patented technology called mechanical concrete is the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base that turns end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. So you can use this mechanical concrete of Third Rock Renewables to fix those potholes in your road and whatever. You can also use it to lay down a yard, truck parking. Maybe you have a parking lot at a business that you have. Well, you can use mechanical concrete from Third Rock Renewable for that, too. And it's going to cut your maintenance costs by 75% or more. So whatever you're doing is going to be more expensive than what Third Rock Renewables is doing. And what Third Rock Renewables is doing is way better than whatever else you're using. So call Third Rock Renewables right now, 713-305-0507, to find out how this mechanical concrete can cut those maintenance costs by 75% while also lowering your carbon emissions. Be green, save green. 713-305-0507 or thirdrockrenewables.com to fix annoying potholes for good.
ESPN 97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Todd Callis will join us in 12 minutes, worried about his well-being, but we'll talk to him in 12 minutes. First, though, overreactions, realities from last night in the NFL. Brian's going to read to us things that played out, and we'll say overreaction, reality. Brian?
All right, so overreaction, reality number one. Caleb Williams can't fail with the wide receiver talent they've given him. Already has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. He gets added to that. Rome Odunze, not to mention a good receiving tight end in Cole Kmet and a quality running back in DeAndre Swift, who is a pass-catching back. Caleb Williams can't fail with this much of talent around us. Overreaction or reality?
That's an overreaction, in my opinion, simply because of the fact that you still got to throw the ball to him, and you got to understand, no matter who you have to throw it to, that what CJ did last year was an anomaly. It was something that had never done before, and it's not the norm in terms of rookie quarterbacks their first season. I think there's plenty of opportunities where he could fail because he's got to read the defenses. He's got to throw the ball to the right receiver. He's got to be able to avoid the pressure on a different level with a different kind of athlete trying to chase him down. Yeah, he's set up to succeed because of all the weapons he has, but there's still a ton on his shoulders and a lot of he's got to do and prove before I could say that's just a slam dunk, it's going to happen.
I think he's going to be good. I think that offense is going to be good. But to say that he can't fail is silly. Failure is always an option. In fact, all parents should be telling their kids this. Failure is always something that can occur. I mean, if he's Jamarcus Russell, you think that's going to work? That's foolproof? That's going to, you know, he's going to be able to walk in there and automatically lead an NFL team if he's not putting in the work? Absolutely, failure exists. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Caleb Williams will be good. But failure is always an option.
I don't know if that was a reference to Mythbusters, but if it was, I appreciate it. All right.
Never seen that show.
What Busters?
Mythbusters. I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
I'm moving on. You guys disappoint me. All right, next one. Xavier Worthy is going to be a star. He'll top 1,200 receiving yards by year two in the Chiefs offense. Overreaction or reality?
I think that's a reality. I think that playing with a guy like Patrick Mahomes is a guy that can make anybody on his roster better, and he did it last year with a whole bunch of lesser-thans and younger players on his team. I think, you know, the same thing that we saw out of Rashi Rice we're going to see in this situation, and he's going to make the receivers around him better, and so I would say that's a reality.
Pat Mahomes is going to throw to the open man. This is a big number. And also, they're going to get Rashee Rice at some point. Like, Worthy might be their number two receiver this year, but is he going to put up 1,200 yards in his rookie year with Travis Kelce still around?
I said by year
first
two.
2 years.
I know
I
that.
Said by year two.
I'm aware. Let me finish up. Right. Rashee Rice, I think, is going to be back next year. So if Rashee Rice is back next year, Hollywood Brown, if he's still in the mix, I'm going to go under on Worthy 1,200 yards in a season in his first 2 years. I'll go under on that. So I'm going to go overreaction. I think it'll be good, but 1,200 is too high for me.
All right, next one, definitely the moment of the first round of the draft, Michael Penix Jr. being drafted by the Falcons at number 8. We talked about this the other day. I believe, Jeremy, you agree with me. I'm a big fan of his game. I think he was undervalued by, every team except for the Falcons. But this this offseason planning to me was just horrible by the Falcons, spending $160 million on Kirk Cousins. I think the Falcons just went full Jeff Bagwell. Overreaction or reality from the Falcons offseason and this planning they did at the quarterback position?
I think it's the reality is that they screwed this thing up royally. I don't understand it for the simple fact their defense was so bad. Their defense was a sieve last year. They had the least amount of sacks in the NFL over the last two or three seasons. The fact that, you know, you had Dallas Turner, you had guys on the board where you could have made the first defensive player picked, or you could have traded down. You could have done so many different things to make your team better immediately because of the fact that you already added a quarterback. And now your return on investment on this kid might be 3 years down the road, and it might hinder the growth of your overall football team with the talent weapons that you've used in the draft and what you signed in free agency. I thought it was horrible by the Falcons.
I was really trying to spin this in a way that made the Falcons look good. I was going to try to take the contrarian opinion here, something that I never do. I was trying to find a way to make it happen, and I just couldn't. I don't hate the idea of grooming a young rookie quarterback, but when he's the eighth pick behind a $100 million man, you're spending a lot of financial capital, a lot of draft capital, and you can only play one quarterback. I don't like it either. I think that their roster's nowhere near where it needs to be to pull something like this off. I think the Falcons have screwed up the entire offseason, quite frankly. I think it goes back to not hiring Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick would have been a way better hire than Raheem Morris. Their Fontenot, the general manager there, is pulling off a move where you're signing a $100 million quarterback and then using the eighth pick on reaching for a quarterback. I think the Falcons not only screwed up last night, I think the Falcons have screwed up all offseason long. And if I was a fan of the Falcons, I would be ticked.
All right, next one on the board here for overreaction or reality, things that happened last night in the first round of the NFL draft. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver LSU, landed in the worst possible spot for a wide receiver, going to the Giants. You got Daniel Jones this year. Who knows what the Giants have next year? I feel bad for Malik Nabers. I feel like he's going to absolutely be wasted. We've seen so many wide receivers go over there. I mean, Jalen Hyatt didn't do anything last year. Wandale Robinson, Kadarius Toney. The Giants have wasted receiver after receiver after receiver. Obviously, who was the Lions wide receiver that went over there?
They spent all the money on.
Kenny Galladay is the name I'm thinking of. So I feel bad for Malik Nabers. Worst landing spot possible for a wide receiver in this draft.
I would say that's a reality. I look at it and say you lost Saquon Barkley. Your offensive line was horrible a year ago. You're trying to do whatever you can, and you've made a few free agency moves to try and strengthen your line a little bit, but you still have Daniel Jones. And honestly, Daniel Jones ain't it long-term for that team. He's gone in a year anyway. I agree with you. I think Nabers is going to have a really tough time because he is in a really horrible situation. It might be the worst wide receiver room in the league, along with maybe Carolina.
Yeah, this is a struggle. Would I rather be in New York than New England with Drake May? I don't know. I think that one's on the board. Bryce Young in Carolina, maybe. Denver situation, maybe. So the absolute worst, I don't know if it's the absolute worst, but I think it is in contention. So I'll go reality. I don't feel bad for him, though. The guy's going to be making millions.
All right, next one on the board. Reality or overreaction? Look, I love being right. I mean, the last couple weeks for Cash It or Trash It, I had seven wide receivers going in the first round, Cash It. Had six quarterbacks going in the first round, Cash It. But six quarterbacks and seven wide receivers going in round one was a super thirsty mistake by NFL teams. Reality or overreaction?
I think that's an overreaction. I think that teams know what they want, and they even Atlanta, I guess, but they went out and got it. I think that if Penix hadn't gone eight, I think he would have gotten a lot of consideration to the Raiders a few picks down the draft board. I think that we had seen that the stock was rising for Bo Nix and Penix, and that six was a reality there. And from a wide receiver perspective, we knew that that was one of the deeper aspects of this draft, so it's not surprising to me at all. So I don't think that there were teams that were reaching. I think that they knew their needs and they went out and got them.
Yeah, I don't for the receivers, no, but the quarterbacks, yes. The quarterbacks is definitely thirsty. Six QBs in the first 13 picks. I think the three of them had no business being in the top half of the first round. So quarterbacks definitely super thirsty, but I would say the receivers part of it not. Let's do one more of these, Brian.
All right, so Raiders spending the 13th overall pick on a tight end when they drafted one high last year. with the tight end out of Notre Dame. I believe Michael Mayer was a second-round pick for them last year. So pretty high draft capital for the position. So with the Raiders spending the 13th overall pick on a tight end, where they already have Michael Mayer, who they drafted high last year, and have a ton of holes, was the worst pick of the night that a team could have made.
Yeah, I was shocked. As much as everybody thought the first and the biggest shock was Penix, I looked at this, and the first thing I thought about was, unless you're going to use Brock Bowers at something other than tight end, and you're going to try and just go with two tight end offense, and he has the ability to play more, you know, spread him out around the field, and even still, because there were so many holes to fill, I thought this was a reach by the Raiders, and I think it was caused by the fact that they didn't expect all the quarterbacks to be gone by the time that they drafted, and I think they got caught with their pants down, and they just took the best player available when there was a lot of best players that could have been available for positions they needed to fill.
Oh, no, they took the best player available. How terrible of them. Is there a new rule in the NFL where you can't play two tight ends? I'm not aware of this rule. And they took the best player available. When is that ever the bad pick? I don't care that they have Michael Mayer. You can play two receivers. Like, get pass catchers. You couldn't get a quarterback. Yeah, they need a quarterback, but that didn't exist there anymore. So draft offensive playmakers, so whenever you eventually bring in the quarterback, he's coming into an already good offense, a turnkey offense. No problem with the pick at all. If he is the best player available and you're getting him all the way at 13, it's a good pick. I like this pick from the Raiders. Overreaction. All right, let's get to Todd Callis. A little worried about Todd. Things haven't been going so well for Todd. I hope he got a Chicago dog, though. Todd Callis, the voice of the Astros on the shin, joins us next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.